Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
The vaccines have started arriving. The Pfizer vaccines started arriving over the weekend. Joining us on the line, Professor Adrian Opuren, who is the acting executive director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, the NICD. A very, very good morning to you, and thank you as always for joining us. How are you doing?
Right, not bad. Thanks very much, and good morning to you and your listeners. Thanks for the opportunity.
So it must be with a great sense of relief that this is actually starting to happen.
Absolutely, I think it's a very important start. I know we've got a way to go, and I know that we want to have, you know, a large number of people vaccinated in the shortest possible time. But at least that this is a start, and I hope that coverage will happen and that it will affect. As you know, we've released a report with the modeling consortium around what a resurgence could look like. So I'm hoping the vaccine can certainly contribute to trying to mitigate what we may see in some of these resurgences, especially in Gauteng.
How is this going to work in terms of ensuring, especially because we're going to have different vaccines in the country? How's it going to work if somebody has the first Pfizer vaccine, that they can be assured or confident that they'll be able to get the second one and that they won't have a problem when it comes to that second one being available?
Yes, I think that that's going to be the key point, is really around ensuring a constant supply of vaccine. And of course, encouraging people to have the second vaccine is also going to be another challenge, I think, because I think in the United States, I think it's about 8% of individuals so far who've not received their second vaccine. And it's really critical, I think, in South Africa, especially as currently, you know, the dominant circulating variant, does affect vaccine efficacy to an extent. So it's really recommended that people have that second dose. And you're quite right, it would be really then critical to have a constant supply of vaccine. I know that I've seen the numbers up till, I think it's the end of June, but it's beyond that, obviously, that we need to make sure that the supplies are going to happen.
What is the ideal waiting period between your first and second vaccine?
So the recommended, at least for Pfizer, I think is 21 days. To achieve, you know, the full effect. And of course, the vaccine then, or the antibody response is quite dramatic thereafter. So it does give a level of protection in terms of the first dose. But because of the decreased efficacy of the Pfizer in the context of this variant, it's really encouraged that you have that second dose.
What's interesting is my son is traveling at the moment. He's in Israel, and when they got there, they were given the first dose of the Pfizer vaccine, which I was extremely grateful for. He was one of the kids, one maybe three out of 70, in fact, who hadn't had COVID. But so for him, it was clear that they were always going to give him two doses. I think ultimately they've decided to give all of the kids two doses, but there was certainly a discussion around if you've had COVID-19, if you need one dose or two doses of the Pfizer. What's your thought on that?
Well, I think some of the evidence currently shows, in fact, that if you've had natural infection plus one dose, that could still be highly protective, as far as I'm aware. But I'm sure there'll be additional studies, maybe more nuanced studies, to really demonstrate that efficacy is really achieved by that type of combination, if you like. Of course, people are going to be playing around with combinations of vaccines, as you know, to determine whether or not a mix and match.
Well, that's exactly, that was going to be my next question, because in fact, you know, we have a Sunday podcast with Dr. Anton Marburg, and we debate all of these things, but we get questions from around the world. And somebody sent us actually a question in from Australia saying, I think they've got the AstraZeneca, one of them, I think it's also two doses, but then they traveled and then they came back to wherever they were. They weren't able to get the second one. And then so they were asking, well, what happens if they then have another vaccine? And I realized, you know, we're a bit behind the curve here in South Africa, but ultimately we're going to start seeing a lot of those types of questions, that I've had the Johnson & Johnson, should I have as a booster one shot of the Pfizer, or, you know, how much information do we have on this?
So I think there are some trials that are ongoing or have started, in fact, to try and answer those types of questions of AstraZeneca plus Pfizer, for example, or Moderna plus X, to determine whether or not the levels of immunity that can be achieved will be as efficacious as, for example, using just a single monotype seed. Yes.
Look, there's always been the idea that we probably will be needing boosters within a certain time anyway.
Of course, yes. So I think that's still the question that remains unanswered. You know, I think we have the vaccine, but what is the sustainability of that immune response? You know, people talk about waning immunity, but waning immunity does not mean you're not protected. And again, you need obviously consider that, in fact, there's the other arm of the immune response, the so-called T-cell response. So that may well contribute, even though you have declines in antibodies that are detected. You may well have a T cell response, which
we don't test for.
Absolutely, not at this particular time. But after all, there will be a growing data set, and I think there is evidence, in fact, that there are T cell responses that may well be effective. Yes.
In terms of the concerns around the Indian variant, we've certainly seen a lot of that, and I think you might have made a comment that we don't have to stop flights to India. Give us your thoughts around that.
Yeah. So. I suppose it's a difficult question around movement of people, and inevitably, even though you may have bans and some sort of restriction, it doesn't necessarily prevent, you know, the circulation of those particular variants. And I think what is critical, therefore, is to make sure that you have systems in place for the detection of these particular variants, especially if they're variants of concern. And so, for example, the dominant variant that we're aware of that has started in India, for example, certainly is of concern because of the types of mutations that are observed. But I think we have in place, at least in South Africa, the ability to detect for those particular variants. And I think we need to make sure that we can do this early enough in order for us to be aware and be prepared. However, you know, our response to this particular variant is really around, as we have done for the variant that we did have, that was highly transmissible and does it evade the immune response, is really to make sure that we've got good tracking, tracing, testing and isolation and quarantine procedures in place to really try and limit that. And again, I think the UK was a good example of that. Where even though they tried to restrict, you know, this variant from reaching their shores, it did reach their shores. However, they then had to implement those various systems within geographic locations to really try and limit transmission of the variant.
And science says, when we have a vaccine, how long will it last? I guess you've answered that. And the answer is, we actually don't know yet. There's the antibodies and there's the T cell response. We need more studies and we need more time to see how that's going to work. But I guess that the short answer is we don't know. But I think it's absolutely critical, just as soon as you are able to get the vaccine. How is that going in terms of registration? Are people, because when we last spoke, I voiced my concern that the pause on the Johnson & Johnson might do damage to the confidence that people have in vaccines and increase vaccine hesitancy. Have we, now that we're back on track, that Pfizer's arriving, are we starting to see people getting on board with registrations, or is it still a concern for you?
I think it probably is of a concern. I think that perhaps that may well be, you know, as you said, hesitancy may well play a role, but I think now that the vaccines are here, again, it's really around communication, making sure that, yes, the vaccine is there. We're going to try and make sure that our supply lines are in place and continuous. We won't run out of the vaccine. Pauses may well be inevitable, but, you know, given that the safety profile of the Pfizer, at least for this, as far as we're aware, is a good profile, so it should be safe and effective vaccine. And hopefully that will encourage the numbers. I understand only about over 500,000 people have registered on the EVDS for that second phase. So it's really critical for us to really try and encourage people to get vaccinated, especially, you know, as this particular phase is aimed at those particular individuals that are vulnerable. And if we're thinking about trying to mitigate against a third wave or resurgence, and this is the time for people to get vaccinated to really assist with that particular mitigation process.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for. Professor Adrian Puren, Acting Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, thank you as always for making yourself available to speak to us.